If another member of the church sins against you, go and point out the fault when the two of you are alone. If the member listens to you, you have regained that one. But if you are not listened to, take one or two others along with you so that every word may be confirmed by the evidence of two or three witnesses. If the member refuses to listen to them, tell it to the church. And if the offender refuses to listen even to the church, let such a one be to you as a Gentile and a tax collector. Truly I tell you, whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. Again, truly I tell you, if two of you agree on earth about anything you ask, it will be done for you by my Father in heaven. For where two or three are gathered in my name, I am there among them. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Well, in these summer Sundays, I've been preaching from the floor, and so I'll just continue that for one more Sunday until the choir gets back, and then I'll have some extra faces to be with on the platform. We've been talking about following from the fallow over the past couple of weeks, and we spent 2 weeks, the past two Sundays, in Matthew 16. And I've been encouraging us as we re-enter into this new season of September to really re-enter and reflect from a place of Sabbath, a place of rest, maybe a different cycle, and to be ready for what it means for us to follow Jesus for the good of the world. As we enter into September, as we enter into a new season of life together as the church. And so we continue that today as we spend some time in this Gospel chapter 18 text. And also we're wanting this morning for the table to be the real focus of the morning. And so we've got a very simple table up front. We're going to be doing come forward communion after this meditation. We have a real set communion liturgy today as an insert in your bulletin. So as we reflect on today's text, as we think about what God is inviting us into in these weeks and months ahead as the people of faith here, allow the gospel story to lay alongside your life and respond. And even as you come to the table today to interact with the real presence of Christ, use that as a time of renewal, perhaps a time of recommitment, a time of encouragement, a time of healing, a time of hope-giving as well. So the sermon's going to be a little shorter in that we want to allow time for our come-forward communion today. And I need to note that this is the fourth year. On September 1st, I started my fourth year here with y'all here at First Baptist. And so thanks be to God. God has been very kind and gracious to us all in this new season of ministry. And I was thinking this past week, after 3 years, I think I kind of know those five or six people that voted no to me coming in that congregation. I'm just kidding. That's why we come to the table, for forgiveness. If you've grown up in churchland like me, then verse 20 from today's text might ring a familiar tune for you. Wherever two or three are gathered in my name, I am there among them. But I hear this used at prayer meetings lots, but I wonder, do we ever remember that it's connected to these other five verses beforehand? We love verse 20. It's perfect prayer meeting lingo, right? Lord, we just count on that promise that wherever two or three are gathered, you're here amongst us today. In the midst of our conflict, if you're reading the whole context, in the midst of confrontation? What? What's up with that? We Christians don't conflict, do we? We Christians don't confront one another, do we? That's so unnice, isn't it? And as I said a few weeks ago, one of my favorite seminary profs used this phrase, "Niceness is killing the church." He would scream this in the middle of class. And he insisted that the church needed to fight a bit more. Not with the right fists of fellowship and not with those brutal tactics of fighting like bullying or passive aggressiveness or shame and power tactics, but that we need to acknowledge that we do conflict in the church, that we do at different times within the community of faith need to confront one another and speak truth and love to one another and not sit with our quiet anger and our quiet bitterness until we just finally blow up one day and then leave the church. Instead, in the midst of conflict and the mess of church and life together, we who self-describe as followers of Christ are to, as Paul the Apostle says, get dressed in the garments of love. I was reflecting on this Colossians 3 passage during the summer, during a marriage ceremony where one of the couples chose this passage for their meditation. Colossians 3, verse 12, Paul says, "As God's chosen ones, holy and beloved, clothe yourselves with compassion." Clothe yourselves with compassion, kindness, humility, meekness, patience. Bear with one another. And if anyone has a complaint against another, forgive each other, just as the Lord has forgiven you. So you must also forgive. Above all, clothe yourselves with love, which binds everything together in perfect harmony, and let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, to which indeed you were called in the one body. This is also echoed in our lectionary epistle of the day from Romans chapter 13. Paul writes in verse 8, "Owe no one anything except to love one another." In verse 10, "Love does no wrong to a neighbor, therefore love is the fulfilling of the law. Let us then lay aside the works of darkness and put on the armor of light." Verse 14, "Instead, put on the Lord Jesus Christ and make no provision for the flesh to gratify its desires." So with today's gospel text in mind, and even this Romans 13 passage, and even Colossians 3, if you have room for it in your imagination, let's come to the table. And I want to just share two quick thoughts as we hold these passages together, these words of life, as we hold these together and come to the table. The first that is that the table is a great place for Jesus to show up in the midst of two or three. I think it'd be really great if we all learned that when Jesus shows up in the midst of two or three, it isn't always in the midst of a quaint and quiet, nice prayer meeting. The table is a great place for Jesus to show up because this table of the Lord, these tables that we will reflect on today and approach today, are tables of reconciliation. It's a tangible place where we bring our who we are-ness to Jesus, and we receive at this place of love and forgiveness the who he is-ness of Christ, where we realize that we can be forgiven, and thus we are empowered to live this life of forgiveness to others. I was thinking this past week that we don't often need help just to be nice. We can kind of conjure up nice on our own. But I'm pretty sure and convinced that we desperately need Jesus to empower us to be a people of reconciliation, a people who humble ourselves, a people who confess our sins, a people who seek forgiveness and then also give away forgiveness to one another. So as we come to the table today, let's remember that this is a great place for Jesus to show up with real presence as we gather at the table. And secondly, I'll say this, that just because Jesus shows up at this table, it doesn't magically make it a neat and tidy encounter. I want us to hold on to this idea that this faith community that we're a part of, the church universal, is a messy place filled with messy people. And thus, this table of reconciliation that we come to this morning is in a way a messy table because we show up at it. We who are really a motley crew, some of us rich, some of us poor, some of us strong, some of us feeling weak, the educated, the ordinary, the people who had a great, glorious week, and the people who have come from horrible weeks, who barely made it into the house of the Lord this morning. But we come to this table. And it's a big table. It's a table full of welcome. It's a table full of grace. It's a table full of invitation, because the living Christ brings that invitation to life. I don't know if you can remember from Matthew 16 a couple weeks ago where Peter is called the rock, and Jesus says, "You are rocky, and I give you the keys of the kingdom, and you, because you have these keys of the kingdom, will be able to loose whatever needs to be loose in heaven on earth and bind up in heaven and on earth whatever needs to be bound up." And I was thinking, as we encounter Jesus today at the table and with one another, remember that the so what of this encounter is that then we go out and clang around with these keys of the kingdom. And we bind up what needs to be bound up, and we loosen up what needs to be loosened up. And I'm thinking, as a messy people, maybe what we need to bind up is disagreement and discord and our angerness and our bitterness and resentment. And what we need to loosen up is the fruit of the kingdom, the dream of God, love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, generosity, self-control. So as we press into the mess of life together, the great promise of today's gospel is this, is that Jesus is here. If you're looking for God this morning, if you're looking for Christ, if you're looking for some revelation from a living God that we worship week after week, he's at the table. And even though Baptists symbolize the bread and the cup and often name it a symbol, which is true, I've urged us over the past few years to try to broaden our imagination and maybe be more Anglican or maybe even more Catholic, and realize that there is a real living presence of Christ in the bread and the cup. And when we ingest the bread and when we drink of the cup, that somehow, supernaturally, the living Christ interacts with us, the molecules of our body, and fills us. And then we then go into the places that we're called to this week, amongst family, amongst friends, amongst co-workers, amongst school friends, amongst strangers, as this bearer of the living Christ. That's why you shouldn't skip Communion Sundays. We Baptists only do it once a month, so don't miss it. Because it's a great place and a great time and a great experience to encounter the living Christ, to actually take in the living Christ in a tangible way, and then go forth from this table and this place as a sent people, clanging around with the keys of the kingdom, being fruit bearers of this love, this peace, this patience, this kindness, and this goodness. Right before we read our communion liturgy together, I want to read to you an invitation to the table that reminds us of how big the invitation is. And this invitation is from our Baptist Union UK Gathering for Worship book that many of us ministry leaders use for worship here. And the invitation goes this way: come to this table not because you must, but because you may. Not because you are strong, but because you are weak. Come not because any goodness of your own gives you a right to come, but because you need mercy and help. Come because you love the Lord a little and would like to love him more. Come because he loved you and gave himself for you. Come and meet the risen Christ, for we are his body. Just a moment of silence as you sit with this invitation, sit with this gospel text today, and then we will sing together our hymn of approach and then join in on the communion liturgy. Please be seated. Hopefully you all have a communion liturgy at hand or can share that with someone near you. Actually, I should have encouraged us to stay standing. Let's stand as we read the creed together, because that leads us into sharing the peace this morning. And after we read the creed, you're invited to greet those around you with a handshake, saying words like, "The peace of Christ," or "Peace be with you." On Communion Sundays, we always remember our Bolivian Baptist friends who we're in partner with mission with, and know that they would be hugging and kissing as they share the peace of Christ today. But as I say month after month, let freedom reign from every mountain place as you share the peace of Christ. Let us confess our faith as we say, "We believe in one God, the Father, the Almighty Maker of heaven and earth, of all that is seen and unseen. We believe in one Lord, Jesus Christ, the only Son of God, eternally begotten of the Father, God from God, light from light, true God from true God, begotten, not made, of one being with the Father. Through him all things were made. For us and for our salvation he came down from heaven. By the power of the Holy Spirit, he became incarnate from the Virgin Mary and was made man. For our sake, he was crucified under Pontius Pilate. He suffered death and was buried. On the third day, he rose again in accordance with the Scriptures. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again in glory to judge the living and the dead, and his kingdom will have no end. We believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord, the giver of life, who proceeds from the Father. With the Father and the Son, he is worshiped and glorified. He has spoken through the prophets. We believe in one holy Catholic and apostolic church. We acknowledge one baptism for the forgiveness of sins. We look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen. Please share the peace of Christ. And I'll invite you to please be seated after all that kissing and hugging. You'll note that the bold parts in the liturgy are the parts where we respond and read together. We praise you, merciful Father, not as we ought, but as we are able, because in your tender love you gave the world your only Son, in order that the world might be saved through him. He made you known by taking the form of a servant, healing the sick, liberating the oppressed, reaching out to the lost. Betrayed, reviled, and nailed to the cross, he confronted the power of sin and disarmed it forever. In his offering of himself, he became the perfect and sufficient sacrifice for the sins of the whole world. Redeemed by Christ, we have been adopted as your children. By your pardon, you have made us worthy to praise you. On the night he was betrayed, Jesus, at supper with his friends, took bread, gave you thanks, broke the bread and gave it to them and said, "Take and eat. This is my body, which is given for you. Do this for the remembrance of me." After supper, he took the cup of wine, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them and said, "Drink this, all of you. This is my blood, which is shed for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Whenever you drink it, do this for the remembrance of me." And now we gather at this table in response to his commandment to share the bread and the cup of Christ's undying love and to proclaim our faith. Christ has died. Christ is risen. Christ will come again. Send your Holy Spirit on us as we receive this bread and this cup. We may partake of the body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ and feed on him in our hearts by faith with thanksgiving. May we be renewed in his risen life, filled with love and strengthened in our will to serve others, and make of our lives, we pray, a pure and holy sacrifice acceptable to you, knitting us together as one in your Son, Jesus Christ, to whom with you and the Holy Spirit be all honor and glory, now and forever. Amen. And so if you haven't participated in Come Forward Communion, it's simply us coming up the middle aisle and receiving the bread from one of the servers, receiving a cup from one of the servers, and then dropping your empty cup in the basket as you head back to your seat. And we invite you to pause. It's not a race through, but pause with the bread and eat of it. Pause with the cup and drink of it, and receive the living Christ. Be filled with the living Christ, and then know that you are filled and sent as the people of God this week. And if you are unable to come forward or wish one of our ushers to serve you, just raise your hand and Margaret or Odell will make sure that you get served in your seat. So once Carolyn begins playing, then you're invited to come forward, and then keep your liturgy at hand, because after everyone has come forward or received the elements, then we will close with a prayer of gratitude.